Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Energy is big business and a big issue inextricably linked to politics. Rising gas prices and huge natural gas and oil finds in the U.S. thrust energy into the 2012 presidential campaign, though little was said about nuclear power, which supplies about a fifth of America's energy. Although some environmentalists now advocate for nukes, the question of how to safely isolate existing waste has been fraught and has plagued the industry and government for years. Adam J. White is a lawyer with Boyden, Gray & Associates. It's a Washington firm focusing on regulatory issues. And he also writes for The New Atlantis, where we found his article, Yucca Mountain, A Postmortem. White uses the apparent demise of the project to illustrate the undue influence of presidential politics on energy infrastructure. Adam White, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's first clarify, what is happening to radioactive waste now and spent fuel already in the U.S.? How much of it is there and where is it?
Well, right now there's about 65,000 metric tons of spent nuclear fuel. A Blue Ribbon Commission that the president assembled, they once described it as enough to cover one football field to a depth of about 20 feet.
Wow.
And right now, spent nuclear fuel is kept on site at the facilities, the nuclear power facilities where it's used and for electricity generation.
Although politicians have been, and nuclear regulatory commissioners, I guess it's that agency has gone through several iterations, but those in the industry have been talking about a long-term plan for nuclear waste storage. What did they come up with?
Well, the problem of waste has been with us ever since the civilian nuclear program started after World War II. It's been discussed since 1960 at least. And the most recent decision in the 80s was to put it at a long-term repository in Yucca Mountain in Nevada. That was a proposal that was formulated by the Department of Energy and then later sort of ratified by Congress in 1987.
So my read of your article, as you went through a very detailed history of this, where, you know, who was for it, who was against it, how it went through Congress, how it went to court, is that the question actually became where for some time in the 80s, not how to store waste, which to me ups the ante on storage becoming sort of politicized. You know, I don't want it in my backyard, put it in this guy's state.
Well, that's exactly right. In the early 80s, Congress and President Reagan realized that they had a problem on their hands, and the Department of Energy started identifying possible sites. They narrowed it down to five in 1984, including Mississippi, Texas, Utah, Washington, and Yucca Mountain. And then in 86, the Department of Energy narrowed it down to three, including Yucca Mountain. And in 87, Congress just ended the process by saying, okay, it's going to go at Yucca Mountain. Now we just need to figure out how we're going to store it there. And you're right, by focusing all the attention on one facility in Yucca Mountain, it alleviated the concerns of people living near the other sites, but it only intensified the concerns of those in Nevada.
Mm. So after... go ahead.
I was going to say, ironically, it was originally identified by Nevada's own senator, Howard Cannon, but as you indicated, by the time it was really selected in 1987, it already had immense opposition. Harry Reid, who was a new senator at the time, called it the Screw Nevada Bill.
Hmm. So after this Nuclear Waste Policy Act amendments made Yucca Mountain the sole repository for America's waste, there were years and years of delay. I know we can't go through them all, but can you summarize for us some of the ups and downs?
Sure. Well, for a long time after the 87 decision to put it at Yucca, there were studies, there were test tunnels drilled at the Yucca Mountain site. In 2002, the Energy Department issued its formal recommendation to the president on the type of facility that should be put at Yucca Mountain. The president approved it in the same year. Nevada's governor objected under a procedural provision under the law, and Congress overturned that objection. So the formal application for the Energy Department for this project, it went to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in 2008. But in the intervening 20 years, you had, as you said, there was extensive procedural fights before regulators. There are fights in court that's another story entirely. Mm-hmm. Fights in court over investments by energy companies and debts they felt were owed to them by the government for failing to make good on the government's promise to have this facility up and running by the late 90s.
Which brings us to President Obama, the current administration, after his first term, after being elected in 2008. Obama and his team effectively shut the project down. Now, how was he able to do that?
Well, he did it by a combination of two factors, and he was up front in the 2008 presidential primaries. You know, Nevada was one of the hotly contested states, and he and Hillary Clinton both urged Nevada voters that they'd stand strong on against Yucca Mountain. And so when President Obama came into office in 2009, he had two levers of power at his disposal. One is the Department of Energy, where he appoints the Secretary of Energy and controls that department. And that's the agency that formally applies to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for approval of the project. But President Obama also appoints the chairman of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which the chairman has immense power over the NRC's bureaucracy and staff and over the budget. And so on the one hand, the Department of Energy moved to withdraw its Yucca Mountain application. And on the other hand, the NRC chairman was pushing very, very hard to slow down and eventually stop the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's review of the project.
Well, this really goes to your point, Adam. We're talking about Adam J. White about an article he wrote about the regulatory backs and force of turning Yucca Mountain into a repository for nuclear waste and really its implications on America's energy infrastructure going forward. But to return, I want to go to your point that you talk about Yucca Mountain discussed over many presidencies. Why so much riding on the executive branch in this case?
Well, Congress can pass the laws that set up the process, but ultimately it falls to the president and the regulators to actually carry the policy out through the procedural framework. And when you're talking about a long-lived project like energy infrastructure that can carry over multiple administrations, it just becomes very difficult. I think Yucca Mountain is a good case study on how difficult it is for one Congress or one president to set up an energy infrastructure project, but then have to hope that multiple presidential successors will follow through on that commitment. And it only takes really one president along the way to change the policy and to irrevocably block the project.
Well, your argument is also that by blocking, you're saying no, they're not honoring regulatory agencies overlooking what was to happen at Yucca Mountain. I wonder, however, if somebody could take a read of this and say, well, the science was never good on this. What's your take on that?
Well, there was over the course of 20 years a lot of scientific research. I'm not saying that it was unanimously in favor of Yucca Mountain. There were many academics and scholars who had criticism of it, including there was a book of criticism edited by Allison McFarlane, a George Mason professor who is now the newly appointed chairwoman of the NRC. And so by no means was it unanimous, but it was very thoroughly studied. There was a United States Nuclear Waste Technical Review Board set up to oversee peer review of the science. But I guess my point is that the consensus, or let me say, the discussion was ongoing, and it was up to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to vet the science, to vet the safety and soundness of the project, and the vicissitudes of election year politics sometimes throw a monkey wrench into that. And I'm not saying that there was consensus or that it was finally decided, but the process was ongoing.
I'm wondering how much this process cost, the backs and forths. I mean, I think you cite in the article $50 million by 1990. How much by now?
Well, I'd have to get the numbers out, but there was a couple of things. One was it was immensely expensive for the federal government to run the process, and also along the way, energy companies were paying into basically a trust fund that would cover some of the cost of Yucca Mountain, and they were supposed to be able to then hand over their nuclear waste to their spent nuclear fuel to the government by the late 90s. And when that didn't happen, they started suing, and those lawsuits were immensely expensive. The Government Accountability Office estimated last year that it was already costing $15.4 billion and it might cost $500 million a year after 2020. So these are big numbers.
Mm. Well, I'm wondering, with just a minute left, what's happening now? Is it absolutely a dead project?
Well, it's about as dead as it could be. It's possible a future president might resurrect it, but that seems unlikely to me. Right now, the most recent action was President Obama. While he was shutting down Yucca Mountain, he set up a Blue Ribbon Commission to investigate alternative options. And I think Yucca Mountain indicates that it'll be very difficult to come up with a single storage facility that can withstand the long-term barrage of the political process. But the Blue Ribbon Commission has suggested that you might need multiple storage facilities, you might keep it on site. I mean, the conversation is restarting just like it restarted in the early 80s, and 70s, 60s, 1950s.
We may see it again. Adam White, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Adam White, a lawyer with Boyden & Gray and Associates. He's also a writer, and you can find a link to his absolutely thorough and quite absorbing history, Yucca Mountain, a postmortem, published in the New Atlantis. It's on the Word of Mouth Facebook page.